UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
All right. Appreciate everybody being here. Just excited to get back going to work this week. After our getting a nice win this weekend, I think, after watching the tape, I think our kids played hard, and particularly in the second half, came back out and really took care of business, right from the start with the play right out of halftime, with Hawkins going up the sideline for the big play, and kind of just really set the tone for the rest of the night. So just excited to get that win and happy for our guys, and then, we're excited to get back going this week against Western Kentucky. We know it's a football team that looks improved to me, coming off, second year for their coach. Last year their record wasn't great, but it looks like they're playing better this year. They lost Central Arkansas, which I think is a pretty good football team. Watching their film, we got a lot of good talent. And then go on the road and beat FIU this past weekend. So we know we'll get their best shot. They'll play extremely hard. So we have to have a great week of practice in order to go get another win. Mm-hmm. Well, he gives us some more depth at the tight end position. He's got great size, great talent. I would say he has not lived up to his talent since he's been here. I think he's got a lot of potential. Hopefully he'll reach that potential. There's times we've seen it in practice and, you're like, wow, this guy can be really good because of his size, his power, his speed. He's got good hands, we obviously love to utilize tight ends. We're 11 and 12 personnel type team, so he's going to give us some more size there to set edges, I think. So we're excited to have him back, and we'll certainly utilize him and get him in there. And, we'll see. He hasn't played this year, so obviously we'll see, see how he is toward game time. But he'll certainly get in the mix and play for us.
Coach, with that said about Jordan, can you assess the guys who have played and how they've done so far mm-hmm. the first two games at that position?
Yeah, I think Ian's kind of been our on the ball tight end for us, and he's done a really good job. We saw that in August camp. We saw how he blocked. That's one thing we didn't know for sure. He lost a lot of weight from where he was at Vanderbilt, but he's come along and did a great job blocking for us. He's still learning what we're trying to do offensively, but doing better and better. I think Ford has done a great job at the H-back position for us. We were able to see him catch the football really both games that we've played. He's really good after catching the ball, getting yards after the catch. I think that's been very impressive. A couple of the touchdowns he had the other night were easy, kind of easy touchdowns for him, but he makes it look easy. Hopefully we'll continue to find ways to get forward the ball. I think he's dynamic as a tight end with the ball in his hands, with the matchups, with the linebackers. I think he's quicker and faster than the backers and able to make plays. So, I think Isaac's been a guy who's played both Y and H for us and has done a good job. But getting Jordan in the mix now, so that'll give us some more bodies there, and hopefully keep those guys fresh as we move throughout the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, because it allowed these other guys to get more reps, more playing time, to get more comfortable. Now I think it's going to be – now we got to do that with Jordan. I think he's got to get comfortable now within the offense because the first 2 weeks, of games, he didn't really get many reps with us with the offense because we're getting those other guys ready. So it's kind of been mental for him. So he's got to have a big week of practice and really implementing him in the game plan of knowing what to do when you get out there, because now those guys have experience. I think, it's valuable to have that game experience. And so, he'll have to knock the rust off early, Jordan, when he gets in there, because really – comes down to speed of the game. You know, it's hard to get those kind of looks in practice. It's not as fast. Not the guys are maybe not as strong that you're going against. And so, you know, really get him in early in this game and get him a good feel for it.
It's only two games, but what have you learned about your team so far this year?
Well, I like the way that we're playing, the energy we're playing with. I like the fight we're playing with. I think that's where it all starts. I think when you do that, then you're going to continue to improve and get better and better. And I think we improved from game one to game two. Defensively, the mental errors we cut in half from the first game to the second game, and I think that obviously showed, getting a shutout the way we did, which was tremendous, particularly, how much they had possessed the ball. I thought that was very impressive for our defense. But and then offensively, the same. I mean, we cut down mistakes. We had one turnover, which was, we receiver slipped on that, really, on the fourth down play, so really could have converted that. So I think just an overall better performance. So we got to continue to get better. There's a lot of things we got to get better at and work on, but, our guys are continuing to get better every day, and that's all we can ask for, to get better every day. And we're trying to settle in for roles for everybody. We're still usually in the first three, four games, you're going to do that. There's guys have to find their roles within the team, settle in those roles, and then accept those roles. So we're still trying to settle that out, and we're getting close with that. And I'm talking more of your down-the-line guys maybe trying to find roles on special teams and those type of things.
Scott, I saw the sign on the door as you walked into the practice facility today. How important is it to win those in-state matchups, whether it be for a win or recruiting purposes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to take pride in the state of Kentucky. A lot of our guys are from here, and for our fans and just for bragging rights in the state. I mean, you always want to take care of your state, take care of your home field. In this case, we're going to be on the road, but we're playing a team from our state. And so there's a lot of the players on our team that know a lot of their players. So I think it's just bragging rights, and it's just one more thing that should help motivate our players. So us as coaches try to find anything to motivate these guys, and that's just one more thing that we're throwing in the mix this week as another team from Kentucky.
Obviously, the guys waited a long time for that win, and what's the process for taking that energy from that, packaging it into focus for the next game and the rest of the season?
Well, it's good because we did get a win. There's no question about it. But win or lose last week has nothing to do with this week. It's a new week. Yesterday we put that game to bed. Everything now is straight focus on WKU. Our guys are coming over today and they're off day. A lot of them have already been over here starting to watch the film from the opponent for this week. And, it really doesn't matter what we did last week. We have to stay in the moment. We have to do the best we can do today as far as getting our bodies ready for tomorrow's practice, and so we can come out and have a great practice. So all our focus has to be on today and not worry about what we did in the past. It was just nice to have that win, nice to celebrate it Saturday night and Sunday morning, but you got to put it away. It has no bearing on this game here. We got to continue to get better. That's what our focus will be this week.
Coach, looking at Western Kentucky's defense, mm-hmm. is there anything that you've seen through these two games that you think could be beneficial for your offense?
Well, I think, as we look at their defense, I think they're pretty aggressive. I think they got a pretty good defensive – two good defensive ends, actually. We faced a good one last week, number 44, and then two good ones in Notre Dame. So that's good preparation as we head into this game right here. I think they've been pretty sound on defensively, through 2 weeks. The first game they played, they gave up some passing yards. One of those plays was a trick play, and let the receiver go down the field. It was a long play, but I think we got to get better throwing the football. I know Western Kentucky is going to load the box up. They do that anyway. It's just in their nature, their style, their defense, bringing safeties down. You're going to have opportunities out wide. We got to win, and I sound like a broken record. I feel like I say that every week, but we got to win some of those battles on the outside. We got to be able to get the ball in the hands of those guys outside, and they got to be able to make plays. And we're working hard at that, and we got to be good at that. Next Saturday, that'll be a critical part of the game offensively, is to be able to get the ball down the field in the pass game.
Early in the game, you took a number of shots downfield. Was that Eastern Kentucky driven, or was that more, no, we need to establish that ourselves?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, first play of the game, we try to take a shot with 2-2. We get the PI, you know, call, safety grabbed him, which, you know, probably would have been a touchdown there, I feel like, you know, had he not grabbed him. But that was intentional. We want to take some shots. We know we got to be able to do that. We know the teams are going to play us. We want to run the ball, so they're going to be loading it up. It's one-on-one matchups out there. We got to go win those. And that's going to be every week, you know, and this week will be no different. And so we got to win those battles, and, you know, we wanted to start that right off the top there against, you know, the last opponent, you know, EKU. So, you know, we only hit a couple of the balls down the field, but we got to be able to hit a lot more. I mean, we got to be able to throw and catch and get the ball down the field. You know, we're decent in the intermediate, you know, the short passing game, but to stretch the defense, to get them backing off, we got to be able to hit those balls down the field.
Coach, speaking of the one-on-one battles, Justin Marshall won the one long ball. What have you seen from him and his progression through fall camp and now through?
Yeah, I mean, really like Justin. He's one of the hardest practice players we have. You know, he goes wide open all the time. He's still learning the nuances of the offense, learning where to line up. Just, you know, and it may be just a split. You know, if I need to be a yard outside the hash, you know, sometimes he's made some mistakes lining up. We got to get that cleaned up. But he knows what to do, though. He's really, really good and made, you know, two great catches the other night. He's a hard guy to cover. I think he's big. He's strong. He's powerful. He's fast. Got good hands, you know. So we hopefully we'll continue to find ways to get him on the field and get him, you know, get him the ball. He's also a very good blocker. You know, he's got very good strength, and he takes pride in blocking. So we really appreciate that, and so we want to reward him for that, the way he blocks, and hopefully we'll be able to get him on the field more as the season goes on.
Coach, obviously Juwan played better in the second half. Mm-hmm. How do you take that and build on that mm-hmm. instead of kind of
yeah.
Just kind of keeping his consistency going.
Well, you know, we hopefully continue to build on that. I think one of the things that he's doing really good in is in the run reads that he's having to make. You know, because a lot of those little throws he's made to tight ends or whatever are he's reading that out, and he's reading that when I need to pull it, when I need to hand it off, when I need to pull it and throw it, all those, and he's done a really good job at that. You know, we got to get better just the downfield throws, and he knows that. Saturday evening we had, there was probably about four down the field throws that, you know, we should have made better decisions, better throws, giving the receivers a chance. You know, we had Fitz down in the end zone one time, we overthrew him. We had Seth down the middle of the field, we overthrew him. You know, we just got to be able to hit those balls, or at least give them a chance, you know, give the receivers a chance and not just overthrow them. There was another time we had 2-2. We got another PI called on that one, but I still think he probably could have gave him a chance to catch that ball. You know, so that's just working on that in practice, working on the timing and dropping the ball down on top of the receivers.
Coach, you're only through 2 weeks, but I think you've only played one true freshman. How do you decide mm-hmm. who is going to play, or maybe when you get some guys some reps and that kind of thing?
Well, I think we talk to our guys all the time about how we know once we get into the thick of this season that we're going to have guys dinged up. Other guys are going to have to step up and be ready to play. So it all starts in practice. How hard are you going in practice? How well are you going to get yourself prepared so when your time comes that you're going to be ready to play? We know what's going to end up happening here soon. And we know we don't have a ton of depth. You know, the guys that will end up playing will be inexperienced guys. And so we're trying to get them reps in practice. And maybe throughout the season we'll be able to slide them in and get some game experience for them. You know, you don't want to make wholesale changes where you have a bunch of them at the same time out there, but if you're just putting one guy in amongst the other guys that have already played a lot, maybe they won't stand out as bad. So I think we'll just play by ear as we go throughout the season, you know, and see how it goes. But most of the guys right now, you know, I think we've, like you mentioned, we maybe play one or two guys that are freshmen, so not many.
And defensively, you rotated a ton of guys mm-hmm. up front. After watching film, are you excited about what you saw from them up
yeah.
the front?
Yeah, we want to be able to do that. You know, we feel like if we can get that rotation defensively, we're keeping those guys fresh because, you know, obviously one of the things that we want to be as a team that chases the ball, you know, with relentless effort, and we were able to do that the other night. We're really both games. And so the more guys that can play, the fresher you are, the harder you can go, and then you're going to be able to win those second and fourth quarters. And those are the two quarters we got to win. They got to be able to finish both halves. So it's exciting to see a lot of the guys playing. You know, probably playing a lot more on that side of the ball than we are on the offensive side of the ball. But I think that'll benefit us as we go down the road toward conference play. Yeah, we are. You know, we've played a lot of guys. I think the secondary, we've played bunch of linebackers. You know, last week, Rajay didn't practice most of the week, but ended up playing. You know, but Quinn Head got in there and played a lot. You know, we played at least four inside linebackers, and then the rotation for D-line was really good. You know, I think the more you gain experience with those guys, and I just feel like the defense is starting to gel, starting to mesh a lot better, and you're playing a lot of guys, it'll just benefit us. And I think, you know, we're starting to get some guys that can make plays. You know, we've done a really good job putting pressure on the quarterback. I think, what do we have, 5 sacks Saturday, you know, and so if we can continue to do that, keep them off the chains, you know, obviously benefits our defense in a great way.
You mentioned that you want to be able to throw deep more and stretch the defense, and he had some balls that he didn't complete. Is it a matter of just building up his confidence or more reps and get him sharper passing, or what's the next step you'd like to see him take?
Well, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. It's, you know, running great routes. It's recognizing where I need to throw the ball to which receiver because, you know, the other night there's, you know, we hit, like I mentioned earlier, hit a couple of times where I thought he could have thrown it to a different guy where they're more open, you know, and so you get a little bit more leeway when they're more open. So, and then it's just giving them a chance. And I think it's just timing. I think it's, you know, in practice it's hard because we do throw some deep balls in practice, but, you know, you can't just run the receivers forever at practice, and so you only get so many opportunities with that, and so, you know, we got to make advantage of those opportunities, drop it down on them. And I always talk about, you know, when you're overthrowing them, you know, I joke with the quarterback, I said, we might as well just run the ball again, you know, because it's a wasted play. You just overthrew everybody. If we hand the ball off, at least we got a chance to get a yard. You're overthrowing them, you're not giving that guy a chance, because I think when you drop it on the receivers, a lot of good things can happen. You can get PI. You obviously can catch the ball. You have an opportunity to catch the ball, and usually not many negative things are going to happen because the DB is still trying to figure out, or where's the ball? You know, he's chasing the receiver. So we have to be able to just drop it down on him. And those, just through practice and through game experience, just getting a feel for it, I think, you know, we just got to work on it. We just got to continue to get better at it. I don't think there's any magical formula. I think you just got to continue to practice it and try to get better at it.
Last week you mentioned that following the Notre Dame performance, there was some positive reaction from the recruits that you guys are talking to. After having a couple home games, being able to host a lot of guys, what's been the reaction from that, especially from the guys that have come in and watched you guys play?
It's been great. We had four official visits in this weekend, and they loved it. You know, from the families loved it. The recruits loved it. Two of the guys were already committed. And so, you know, I think that the biggest thing we always tell them is that, you know, we want to be consistent. You know, whenever they come here, if they came a month ago, if they came today, if they come a month from now, they're going to get the same treatment. You know, I think our staff does a great job of being who they are. We're not trying to hide anything. You know, we're putting everything out front. We're very genuine with these recruits, and I think the moms and dads recruits appreciate that. And, you know, we've gotten great feedback. And so, you know, I think, you know, we'll finish this class out. It'll be an outstanding class. And some great players. And number one, great people. We're getting some great character in this class. And I think that's what we want more than anything. We obviously want talent. But I just think character wins a lot of football games, maybe more so than talent.
Coach, back to the defensive line, a new face this week in Ramon Perrier. What has he done to get on the field? And I don't know that – I think he's – he came in as an outside linebacker, I believe, did he not?
Well, he may have. We put him at D-line right off the bat. So he's been good, man. He's been a bright spot for our D-line. You know, he's kind of – when he first gets out there, you really didn't know much about him, and then all of a sudden he starts making plays and he gets more reps, and then – you know, now he's really in the battle. He's battling in the mix now, you know, and it'll probably be that way throughout the whole season. He's gonna be a good player for us. He's a hard worker, really goes hard, and you know, he's practiced with our defense, but he's also practiced with some of our chase teams as well, you know, giving us good looks. And you know, goes really hard against our O-line. Our O-line gets mad at him sometimes because how hard he's going, but that's what's making them better. And it's also getting him noticed, you know. So now I'm excited about the future that he has here and as a player, is that he will certainly play here. He fits the mold because he's quick, he's strong, and he goes hard. I think those attributes will be do him well in the fact that he'll be able to get to play for us. You know, maybe whether it's this year, we'll see. You know, but you know, it's a great rule to have that 4-game, you know, thing where you still can get a red shirt. So it's awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
Scott Satterfield. The press conference presented by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Text ESPN 212-3167 for a chance to win. We'll come back. ESPN Radio.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Well, rarely when you come in on a Monday are the storylines, at least of local interest, more pronounced. You get a Louisville team that last year had no chance to dominate anybody. I mean, I said very simply, step one was to look like they were more competitive and more cohesive, and they did that against the good Notre Dame team week one. Step two was to come out and dominate an FCS team, and they did that. They came out and put a zip on the board, and I agree with Coach Satterfield. If you look at the scores around college football over the weekend, there weren't a lot of shutouts pitched. Even among games where you'd think, boy, there was some really, really mismatched games, they managed to put points on the board in many of them. I mean, Nevada got 6 against Oregon. They lost 77-6, but they put points on the board. Tulane got 6 against Auburn. Trying to look at all the other nationally ranked teams. So number 4, Oklahoma, gave up 14 to South Dakota. Murray State got 17 on Georgia. New Mexico State got 10 on Alabama. There were some shutouts pitched, no question. The most impressive, maybe Ohio State playing Cincinnati. That's probably the most worthy, if you will, opponent to be shut out. But the point being, that's a good sign because not only, and not that it's trying to humiliate the opponent, that's not what it's about. It's about what it says about your team. And what, Coach Satterfield was talking about is, you know, the consistency with which you want to play and the way you want to play is not predicated on, okay, this play we'll play well, that play we won't play well, we're up, we're down, we're left, we're right. You know, that's what it's about. It's about whether you're a one or a two or whoever, wherever you are in the order, being able to step up and keep playing at a high level. And they did that. They showed great cohesiveness. It was fun. This great picture Eric Crawford tweeted out of pass with his arm around Cunningham after his rushing touchdown. And when you play a lot of guys, which you do in a game like that, for them to still work together and give up a zip shows some of that cohesiveness we're talking about. So I don't think that that's an overstatement. I don't think it's just, let's try and dress this win up over a BCS team. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it was a matter of taking a big step forward after setting a table in week one. You don't want to be up and down and left and right and all those other things. So I thought that was significant. So that's the first storyline. The second one for Kentucky is obvious. The injury to Terry Wilson is a big, big deal, although I am intrigued that, I mean, not trying to ridicule the guys. I've been in that situation, and it's really bad when you unfortunately get caught with your pants down, figuratively speaking, and Rick Bozich in the house. Just walked by. He must be here to get his paycheck. He gets money. He talks and they
give money. Oh, God, he's coming in here. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?
Act like you're sober.
That's going to be really hard. It is Monday.
And they did not know that they the quarterback, when they made the quarterback change, they completely got caught off guard. I'm not trying to defend them. I feel bad for them because it's ridiculous that you don't know. You don't know that the other guy was a starter. Sawyer Smith was a starter at Troy State. That seems kind of bizarre that you shouldn't at least know who the backup quarterback is in a sport where the quarterback gets hurt so often. But anyway, he threw the ball well. He's a pure passer. That's a significant step up, not only in the sense that, I'm not trying to talk about playing styles. People are like, oh, I just love when, you know, teams throw the football, they air it out all over the stadium. And this guy, you know, he's a passer way more than a runner. But the fact of the matter is he's got experience. I mean, that's the thing I look at, is you're putting a guy on the field who's not going to look like the deer in the headlights because, you're staring at a guy who has taken meaningful snaps in games. Oh, I don't like Carey Champion's hair like that. Not a big fan of that. Are you?
No.
She has a lot of different hairstyles. I like the other ones better.
She's cute. I like it, but
wasn't pretty.
I'm thinking out loud. No, it's not my favorite. Yeah. It's not my favorite. It's right. It's a middle of the road one.
A little more flattering. Anyway, what's flattering is the fact that it's obviously going to be a situation where Wilson's rehab is going to take quite a while. It appears. I don't know. All these guys, like, they're all doctors. We don't know. I mean, it sounds like it is, and we'll hear from from Coach Stoops a little bit later. So yeah. I'm sure he addresses that in the press conference.
Someone but texted in the Lock Show.
I know about the Ellis Miles. Yeah. Injury, but how, well, based on what? Was the guy a doctor? I guess probably, you know, electrician.
Well, I think the same type of injury, like the patella tail.
He yelled, he said cuss words when he went down, screamed in pain. I noticed that. Very similar to my injury when I was 10 and I broke my collarbone. We shared that same. I didn't know I knew those words.
Did you swear in Italian, English, both?
I don't know. I said, actually, it's very sad. I was actually not 10. This is, there we go, a little sidebar. I defy you to find somebody else who broke their, got hurt riding a training wheel bike. It's amazing how we've not sued anybody in our life. We were talking about this at dinner the other night, by the way. We are such a non-litigious family in a society that will sue you at the drop of a hat. We have had five incidents. You had a guy rear-end you on 65, some trucker who I believe was fibbing. And he,
Mark that, 1231.
What, he was fibbing? Oh, rammed you in the rear end?
That trucker one? On 71.
Yeah, who hasn't gotten rammed in the rear end on 65? Put that in your damn mixtape. I got your mixtape. Right here's your mixtape, all right? You want a mixtape? I got your mixtape. But the guy didn't even slow down and just destroyed Nick's car and claimed that a water bottle came off the dashboard and rolled under the brake. Sure it did. But we didn't sue them. We didn't sue anybody. And then this one, I'll tell you why I say that. The sidewalk on the end of our street was really, I don't know how you describe it, other than it was very uneven. I don't know why. It was like it was laid in two different times, and the second one was way below the first one. And I was five, riding my training wheel bike, and I was bopping down, and I was chubby, a little bit chubby, and I didn't know about vitality, wellness, and weight loss at the time, so there was some girth when you went down that little thing, because I was on the higher curb, okay? So when I went down to the lower curb for a split second, the wheels aren't on the ground. I mean, because I went from the higher one to the lower one. The tires were... And so the bike leaned to the right, and with the considerable girth that it was, the training wheels didn't hold me, and I flipped over and slammed into a parked car on the curb there. It was the sidewalk and broke my collarbone. And we should have sued somebody for putting whoever it was, the county, the state, the city, New York, the United States government, the Russian somebody, because that sidewalk should not have been that way. But we didn't. So I just had a broken collarbone, which, by the way, actually bothered me all the way till I was like 30. If I really overextended with that arm, it would tinge, and then I would just get a pinch. And I was
surprised you didn't break it again.
Well into my 30s.
I got a bunch of friends. They break it in hockey, and they break it over and over.
Why would you break it over? I thought when it heals stronger or something.
I don't know. Maybe, but it just, I had friends that seemed to consistently break their collarbone like three or four times.
Anyway, so that was that. So how I got on that, I have no idea because I'm not well today. So I'm sorry. I apologize to you. It was a rough 3-day weekend. There's something going around. I know that because other people have had it. You get a low-grade fever, and the sad part is, and I won't get into the details of it, you can't keep anything in your stomach. So last night, I'm nothing if not a bottom-line guy. After walking, and you know, we have the dogs and a cat who insist on making an obstacle course for me to try and get from my bed to anywhere out of my room. It's as if I'm held prisoner in my room. So rather than try while I was about to burst and soil myself, rather than trying to go through the obstacle course, I just stayed in the bathroom. I just sat in the bathroom for, I don't know, maybe 5 straight hours. Because if I hadn't, I would have had gone back and forth from the bed to the bedroom, but to the bathroom, and do the pet obstacle course like 20 times, and that was not going to be fun.
Which is always a blast to do when you're
trying to make it with some sense of urgency. Yeah. So I am exhausted. I sound exhausted. I apologize to you. I really, in all honesty, probably should not have come in today, but I'm here. So we will try and do well. And one of the main reasons I wanted to come in is to celebrate the Empire Electrons. The Empire Electrons are not done yet, but I think unless the last guy that Patty Ice has playing on his team scores like a 50 spot tonight, they're going to get their first win of the season. And when the Electrons win, you win. They get 8% off in honor of Lamar Jackson, our star quarterback. So 8% off on the Electrons merchandise. So you'll certainly want to check it out. The Empire Electrons, get charged up. Could be tied for first place in this year's fantasy team. So fantasy league.
8% off, right?
Yeah, 8%. 8%. Honor of Lamar. Boy, but that's what I said. The three storylines are so obvious. Louisville, doing what they needed to do, validating their opening week performance in terms of the consistency. They look like a different team already. They really do. And I think that's a great credit, not only to the coaches, to the kids, who obviously sound like they've – well, at times they may not have been working as hard as the coaches would like, but coaches are never satisfied. They've obviously put some work in, and the coaches have done a very good job so far. I realize it doesn't mean anything, a 35-17 loss and then a win over a non-BCS team doesn't really say a lot, but listen, it does when you look at where they were last year. And you keep bringing up last year because you can't make sense of what's going on this year unless you put it in a context. And the context is it was a mess, an absolute unmitigated mess. And they don't look like a mess. And yesterday's game was validation of that. Week one is just that, one game. You don't want to get too crazed, especially when you get more, you know, you get doubled in score and still you walked away and said, well, we're competitive. And that's true. That's not just whistling in the dark. The stats said they were very competitive. The total yardage, first downs, the defense actually got off the field. It was good. And it was good. Then they pitched a shutout. There haven't been many of those in college football. This
Cardinals shutout since I did the research over the weekend. I think I got this right. 2013 FIU.
Okay, there you go. So first time in 6 years. Very good. Now, the Kentucky situation is one where, you know, it depends how much you think their success was going to be predicated on Terry Wilson this year. There's some that thought last year he had moments. He certainly had moments. But that the thought was, you know, that obviously they were comprised of a dominant player on both sides of the football. And in Allen and Snell. And so this year, though, the thought was, well, they're going to rely on him more. They're going to really expect him to throw the football. And so if that is the case, there's no question you take a guy who started and won a whole bunch of games for your team and you put him on the shelf for a while. It's an impact. But as I said, if you not to try and put a bow tie on a pig, if you're a Kentucky fan, you've got to assume that the experience of Sawyer Smith is a factor in this. And he looks like I certainly am not going to pretend I'm an expert on Troy football, but he looks like he can throw the ball a little bit. And if they were going to ask Terry to throw it a little bit, then hopefully that feeds in his skill set. He certainly doesn't look like he's going to be a guy that's going to beat you with his legs. But, you know, he had some good games. He had some very humble games, but he had some very good games as well. And that's kind of what you're looking for, is he's going to have to kind of step up and help them in spots. And maybe he's capable of doing that. We'll see. And then, of course, the other storyline is Lamar Jackson. I was listening to Locke. I have a couple of things I want to get to that relate to what he was talking about. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you the truth. In radio, the nature of the beast is you can do it just about everywhere. And you really can. And so Birdhead Ryan wrote, does this mean you're doing the show today from the porcelain throne? And be honest with you, that is a tragic and sad state of affairs that it actually broke split second.
Dead ass.
Both
we talked
minds.
About it this morning.
And I just said, there's no way. If it gets to that, I'm not doing it. I'll just take the day off. I'm not going to do it while I'm sitting on a pot. I mean, at some point, I don't have a lot. Radio has very little dignity, but you got to have some baseline of dignity.
The takes you could be getting all grunting.
No, trust me, there's no grunting going on. It's not fun. I'm so dehydrated. I know I am.
Let's get you some
drinking,
Tyler
I'm
Mountain
drinking.
Water. There we go. Tyler out. Mountain Water. They provide coffee. You can give a Keurig for your office. I'm drinking some delicious coffee.
And when you've spit out your liver, then it's good to rehydrate up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know how they make the key is the H2O.
Ah.
That seems to be the key.
A little bit of that hydrogen, two parts of it actually.
Yeah.
A little bit of that oxygen, but bing, bada, boom. Don't go two and two. Don't pull a Noah's Ark, because then you're drinking. I think.
What is it? What's
H2O? I think you're drinking hydrogen oxide.
It's poison.
Yeah, it's just not good for you. Yeah. It's good for cleaning cuts. It's not good for ingesting.
The drafting principles of the Empire Electrons this year were founded in our terrific organization's marketing department. We're just so thrilled with the great people we've got working there. The actual name of the team is the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons, presented by Ronzoni Pasta. And what that means is we took teams that are on the Amtrak circuit in the Northeast. It's the most profitable circuit, and so we were able to draft from the Patriots in Boston, the two New York teams, the Baltimore Ravens, the Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles, and, of course, Buffalo is still in the state of New York, so we could draft from them. Or we could draft any Italian-American players. So the Ronzoni people were delighted we took as our backup quarterback back Jimmy Garoppolo. But doesn't look like I'm praying that he doesn't have to get many snaps because Lamar was sensational. And here's the question. I think it's a, you know, and Locke wasn't doing it to pick a fight because, he wasn't doing it to defend a take. I don't think he was anyway. That was his point. But he was saying, I don't understand why everybody is so, you know, yee-haw, woo, yay, not just Louisville fans, but just why they make it such a big deal. And what he got into was my take on, it wasn't even a knock on our take about let the cake bake, but he, for a smart guy, I didn't understand why he couldn't understand this. The discussion about why are we letting the cake bake when it's bad news? In other words, if Lamar had played a bad first game, would everyone have said, hey, it's one game, you know, let it go. But he plays one good game and everybody is celebrating. And Locke said, I can't understand why. And I'm like, really, Locke? I mean, you graduated college at 6. You know, we all know how bright you are. You don't understand. Let me see if I can explain it. It's really simple. It's really easy to suck at quarterback in the NFL. It's really easy to prove that you can't play quarterback in the NFL. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say every single person walking in this office right now would not be successful as an NFL quarterback. As
dude, my passer rating would be fire.
Diener, you, me, who else is in this?
The pocket presence?
There's Phil Baker, Dawn. I don't think any of those people are going to be successful quarterbacks. So when you play a guy and he fails, I don't think it's a matter of, oh, my gosh, you know, now let's just let the cake bake and see if he gets better. It's that, well, we know that there's the streets are littered with people who can't play quarterback in the NFL. We got that. But even to play it well for one game, we're not sure there's that many. There's literally nobody in this office that could play it well for one game. I'm looking out the window. That guy, see that guy coming in his car? Ooh, is that guy breaking into that car? He can't play quarterback in the NFL. Okay? He can't play quarterback in the NFL. Lamar showed that he can play at a very high level. He's capable of doing that. He's capable of being a very effective passer. That's why everybody went crazy. Doesn't mean that they're predicting now, or maybe they are. And if he says that, then you're right. If you're predicting that based on that one game, he's now going to be a Hall of Fame or something. Okay, yes. Then I understand his point. But I don't think that's the case. I think people are just like, woohoo! Here's a guy who could do it. Look at this. He really can do it. He's capable of doing it. The world has got very few guys who are capable of doing that. And so didn't he have, I forgot the stat. I saw that Kelly sent that out, didn't he? That stat, he's the first quarterback or one of only six or something to have a perfect quarterback rating and throw for 6 touchdown passes or some, whatever he did. I don't know the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, it was not only just, hey, that was a nice day. It was literally an historic day. So, you know, when you look at that, you're looking at a guy that makes you say, wow, look at that. He can do it. That's why the people are responding that way. I don't think anybody has said he's going to be in the Hall of Fame based on that. But now you say, wow, we have evidence that he can do it. For a guy like Locke, who's always saying, let me get data. Well, the data is he showed on this particular afternoon that he can do it, as opposed to the countless, literally millions, who can't do it.
Lamar Jackson, the 7th NFL quarterback since 1950 to have a perfect 158.3 passer rating with at least 300 yards passing and at least 5 TD passes. He is the only one to do it before age 23. Other quarterbacks that have accomplished this. You want to take any guesses?
Little
impromptu game.
Are they here. How old? Since 1950?
Yeah, since 1950. I'll give you a hint.
Joe Namath.
All but one of them are still playing.
Oh, my God. Well, the one who's not playing is...
You're going to smack your forehead.
Johnny Unitas?
You're going to smack your rather large forehead if you don't get this one.
If the guy who's not playing?
Yeah.
Is he relatively recent, like John Elway, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning?
There it is.
Okay.
See what I did there? Smack your giant forehead.
Oh, he has a big head.
You can
show movies on his forehead.
Yeah.
All right, so the guys that are still playing would be Drew Brees,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
Who else chucks the crap out of the ball? Are we still looking for three more? I don't know. Give me the other ones. I'm going to say, oh, my God, how did I not know that?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, that's a good one.
Jared Goff.
No.
And Nick Foles.
Okay, wouldn't have got those last two. I should have got Roethlisberger. But, by the way, is that, you know, I'm of two minds. I know the big national story. Those are the big three local stories. And it's also a good day for local football. Didn't everybody win? Didn't Indiana win? Western won? Louisville won?
Indiana
Kentucky won?
Eastern Illinois, 52-0.
Your alma mater shut out Providence? How about that?
Yeah, I know.
Silver
in
Creek.
Your face, Providence.
Easy. Easy.
Sorry, no, Mom works there. They're very nice people that work there, but they... Anyway.
Guy says, I don't know why people think Sawyer Smith can't move. He ran quite a bit of Troy, including a 63-yard run against Nebraska last year. As I said, I've seen a guy take a snap, so I don't know. But if you look at his numbers, it jumps out at you that he's more of a passer. But that's fine. You know, if he runs a little bit, that's fine. The other thing is, though, when you're the backup quarterback, they want you to run even less, because if you get hurt, then you're playing one of those countless millions who can't play quarterback. You don't want that guy.
Or can't play quarterback yet. They're still learning.
I have a question. Maybe explain to me or have a guess. Does the NFL just throw a dart to decide what games are assigned to what city? Lamar was playing at one, has a big following here, so they show Washington versus Philadelphia. I chose not to watch. Maybe I'm not a pure NFL fan, but just I'm not alone. Well, that's a good question. I don't know, actually, how they decide what market, but if somebody should call to their attention that if they, especially given that first week, I'm going to guess that the people are going to start listening to the games here. We are the home for the Baltimore Ravens, which is a great thing that they did. Very nice. A guy worked with us as a consultant here. Scott Masteller runs the flagship station for them, and we put together a deal where they're allowing us to run the games here, and I think that's really cool. So, I think that's an answer I can't give you, but I will tell you this. If they were convinced that there would be more people watching that game than any other game, then that's the one they'll show you. There's no question about that. So I don't know the answer to that. But, it is frustrating sometimes trying to figure. And now it's even more crazy. I don't know where anything is. And our system, you know, does not take ACC Network yet. So
AT&T? I thought it did.
I looked at home. I spent an hour going up and down the dial. I couldn't find a damn thing.
Man, they all run together.
So
not to sound racist,
you know what's really bad too. They've this is going to sound like a terrible thing, but they've gotten suckier. You know, as the shakeout has happened, there's less and less competition. They all suck for various reasons. They're either their customer service is terrible, or they're just very non-responsive to. I don't want to get into which one. Well, I'll have to tell you which one we had because it won't make sense otherwise. We had Spectrum. What the hell's going on here? Hi, boys. How are you? Are we on fire?
I hope not. The lights aren't on.
There's a giant, giant fire truck has just pulled up right in front of the window.
No, 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 it's not. It has to.
I love you know stuff like this. I just know it's red, and it's like we're in the fire department. So what's the difference between a fire truck and a ladder truck?
The ladder truck has the ladder on it.
Yeah, but there's no ladder. Where's the ladder?
No, I corrected myself.
That's got a bunch of hoses.
Yeah, I think that's the one with all the water and stuff.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We had Spectrum. Their customer service was so unbelievably bad. I mean, almost as if they were taking seminars from American Airlines. So I was like, let's see if we can just figure out how to do this and piss everybody off. So I just couldn't take it anymore.
Locke's going to run in and just dropkick you.
Fine. It must be a great place to work. And I watched him on TV the other day. I watched him doing the news. Little Lockie giving the news, telling us about
You're cheering
news,
him on.
Telling him about news. He was telling us about some things getting with news. I can't remember any of the stories, but they were news. And he was.
But he reported the crap out of him.
Yeah, he
had
was
a boy
just
Locke.
Crap, and he was just reporting the hell out of him. He was just talking away. So I watched him. I know I was waiting to pick up a food in a restaurant. And he came on. And I was like, "Hey, there's Locke doing news."
Did you just grab passerby? Like, I know him.
No, let's not lose our minds. So maybe it's a fine place to work, and the news show's fine. So I'm just suggesting their customer service could really use a overhaul. So I said, "Okay, well, let's try and go to AT&T." So I went to AT&T, and the one thing about Spectrum is you can find shows by genre. Remember, you could go to the bottom of the screen and scroll across, and it would have movies and
music.
And
it had a little basketball.
And it had a little basketball, sports. And then boom, all the sports channels. Can't do that on UVerse. You've got to go and figure out which ones are you like, and then make it your favorites or whatever. And that's too much work. So I had to go scroll through all 14,000 channels to see if the ACC network existed, and I couldn't find it. So that there was that. So there's that going on. Fox didn't show the Ravens game because it's an AFC game and they have NFC. That's true. We did not get a local AFC game on CBS at 1. We did not get a local game. What time was Lamar's game? 1? So why didn't they show that game then?
I thought it was 12:30.
I don't know. I'm willing to bet the text line is going to blow up in agreement of the Spectrum customer service. I'm sorry. Here it is. The ATT says the ACC network is 612. Why couldn't I find the damn thing? I'm serious.
612.
I scrolled for.
You were woefully dehydrated from.
Well, that could be
eviscerating your bowels every 2 minutes.
For a good portion of the day, I thought it was Abraham Lincoln, but that's another story. Yeah. So anyway, DirecTV, yes. All UVerse, no. See, so UVerse. This guy says UVerse doesn't have it, and that guy says does have it. So could you guys call each other and get back to me, because we have UVerse. That's what we have, right? Isn't it UVerse? And I couldn't find it. I could not find it. So I've complained for years about the NFL broadcast in Louisville. By the way, just to clarify it, it is the home team's field determines what network they're on. If it is a home game for an AFC team, that game goes to CBS. If the home team is an NFC team, that game goes to Fox. And there's also some other stipulations about which ones are double headers or whatever. I don't know. But the fact is, I understand that they are going to make the AFC game the local game, the Colts game, whenever possible. But the Colts were on the road, right? And they were playing an AFC team. That was a late
Chargers
game. So I don't know. Maybe you're not allowed to do a double header. There's all these rules I don't understand. It's way above my pay grade. But if you have a local game, you can't have a double header. That used to be the rule. I remember that. So because, like, if the Colts were at an NFC site and that was on Fox, then you could have two AFC broadcasts on CBS. That used to be the rule anyway. I don't know if it is. And now I'm completely spitballing. But that could be the answer. I don't know. But I will say this. There's a couple things, though, that I want to talk about. The NFL will always get TV ratings because people bet their rear ends off on it, and so that's fine. That's half the fun. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying. So it's the most easily followed sport to wager on. Because of that, you want to watch the games that you've got, and fantasy, you want to see how your players are doing. So it's always going to have eyeballs on this set. But for betting, this is the one thing I've been struck by. If I were to give, oh, by the way, how did our guy? I don't think Mike did so great, did he?
I think he went 1-1.
He picked 5 games.
Oh, well, then I think he went 4-5.
He picked Army, which was a great pick. Picked Pittsburgh and lost. He picked Arizona and lost, I think. He picked Jacksonville and lost. I wrote them all down.
Oh, all right. I thought
and he picked Oakland. And does Oakland play tonight? They play tonight, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got a chance to go 2-3, but that was a bad week for him.
The only one I knew that he missed was the Pittsburgh game. I didn't know he missed the other two.
How did we pick? Let's see. I picked Mike picked the Jets -3. They lost. I picked Jacksonville +. I lost. I think Mike and I took a good pounding as well here. Hey, put that on the mixtape. There you go. How you doing? Got your mixtape right here. Got guys on 65 getting slammed in a rear end. We got a host taking a pounding. How are you? How's your day going?
Wow. You're trying to win the mixtape this week.
I don't give up. I've given up trying to pick parse every syllable just so I don't wind up on that damn thing.
How'd the Sagrids do?
Oh, crap. I don't know. I've got some paperwork to catch up on before I can tell you that. But here's what I would suggest. Locke made a great point. I believe that, what did he say, there were only 5 games where the team in college football was more than a 5-point underdog.
3-point, I think.
3-point. More than a 3-point underdog and won. Which, and I used to do this. Why I don't do it again, I don't know. Play money line parlays
And, you know, you're going to have to hit a lot of them to make a decent amount of money. But, my God, they all come in. Take favorites and play like 12 of them. Take a 12-team parlay. And you know, I remember I did one when we were doing it the other place. And if you're willing, trying to make a little bit more money, you know, you can take one where a team's a favorite and the money line is not quite so great. If you take an Alabama, you know, you can hit that 10 times in a row and you're still going to wind up having to lay like $1,000 to make $10. You don't want to do that. But I hit a 10-team money line parlay, and for $5, you win like $400. What is that? That's a 20-to-1 shot? 10-to-1 would be 50, 20-to-1 would be 100. No, it's a 40-to-1 shot, right? I don't know. My math.
I think so.
My head's all mungled. That's a good word, mungled. I like that word. I think I just made that up. Did I? Is mungled a word? It should be if it's not. That's the second mungled time we've done that. We need to keep track of the words we're inventing. No, mungled is an Urban Dictionary getting absolutely out of your mind. Usually on booze, though, so this had no mungling going on. It was not an artificially, it was a purely natural mungling.
It was a natural mungling?
Yes. Because if you take $5 and it gets to 400, you have to multiply it by 10 would be 50. 100 would be 500. So it was 80-to-1. It was an 80-to-1 shot. Right? Yes. 80-to-1. That's pretty good odds there. 8-to-1 would have made $40. 80-to-1 makes $400. So you make 80-to-1 on a 10-team parlay. It sounds like college football. You can hit those. People are writing as confused as I am. Confusing. I could definitely be wrong about UVerse, trying to figure out who has it and who doesn't. It is confusing. 612 on DirecTV, not available on UVerse. So people are as confused as I am. Spectrum has the ACC network, but here in Indiana, it's apparently an upcharge.
I thought it was 611-1.
Oh, my God. Now we're doing fractions.
For DirecTV, because that's what we have here. We were watching it at some point over the weekend.
But we don't have UVerse, right?
No, we have DirecTV.
I don't have DirecTV.
It's bouncing around on the...
Oh, yeah. All right. Guy says Sagarin's did well. Let's see.
Wait a minute. AT&T owns DirecTV?
Yeah.
But then they have AT&T UVerse.
Yeah, well, they're two... Because one uses a satellite and one doesn't. That's kind of like Ford has two different types of cars they sell. And there's different models. You don't just get a Model T. That went out a long time ago. So now you can get different models.
Which was the one that...
the Edsel.
Yeah, it was named after his least favorite son.
No. That was a spectacular flop. They had great aspirations for the Edsel. And he named his kid after it. He wasn't trying to punish him. It was...
car sucked.
The car was terrible. I don't know if he named the car after his son. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but it was not meant as a punishment. But... car just, and I don't know completely why it flopped. I never really did understand that. Anyway, the Sagarin's had a lean for the Titans, so that was 1-0. It had a lean for the Ravens, that was 2-0. It had a lean for the Eagles, but I don't think they covered, right? They didn't win by 10, did they? I don't think so. Let's get the scores up. Let's go to the phones. I know they won. They were down, but I don't think they won by 10. I'm almost sure of that. Let's go see here.
To the internet.
NFL scores for week number one.
32-27. They won by 5.
So they didn't cover. So they were 2. These are leans. 2. We didn't have any dots at all, but the leans were okay. The Bengals got 9 over the Seahawks, and they won. The Cowboys laid 7.5. They didn't cover that against the Giants, did they? How bad they beat them? Oh, they kicked the crap out of the Giants. But he isn't kidding. The Sagarin's were rolling here. Never listen to my own advice. The Sagarin's 4-1 the last game.
Because the second you bet it, it's not
the Cardinals work. And the Cardinals were getting the Cardinals were 5. So the Cardinals got 2.5 in a game that ended in a tie. So they won. So the Sagarin's were 5-1. How about that? In week one, Cardinals won. Cowboys won. I mean, in terms of the gets the point spread. Cowboys won and covered. Cardinals in a tie got points, so they won. The Bengals and the Seahawks, Bengals covered, that's 3-1. The Eagles won but didn't cover, so that's 3-1. The Ravens won in a wallop, so that's 4-1. The Titans won over the Browns, and they were getting points, and they won outright. So that's 5-1. A 5-1 start for the Sagarinis. How about that, Mikey?
Not bad.
Let's go. Do you want to see
not just bad.
To put the whole thing to bed while I got the information in front of me?
Sullivan will join you at 1, by the way.
Here's how Pratt and I did. I missed on the Jacksonville. He missed on the Jets. So that we're 0-1 there. He won on Louisville. I won on Kentucky. So we're 1-1. Let's see. Mike, here we go. This should be a good one. Washington State. That should be entertaining. Let's see how they did. That was he was laying 36.5 points out there. I did that on purpose. Yes, I hate those games, so I give them to him. Oh, they covered, didn't they? What they were 36.5, 36-17 is 53. He won, and he laid the points, and he won. Good going there. He took the Cuse at Maryland. That didn't work so well. So he won one, lost one, won one, lost one, and then Missouri. That was the last one on his list there. Missouri was laying 13.5, and they covered easily. So nice week for Mike. He was 3-2. All right. I can't even read my own right. Oh, Hawaii. Did Hawaii win? That game was forever late. Hawaii. Yes, they won outright. Oh, no, they were laying. Oh, they were laying 6.5. I won. They didn't cover. Dang it. Did Indiana cover? Indiana won so. By like a million,
yeah,
right?
They had to have covered.
So they were.
Unless the line was 75.
They were. Oh, yeah, they won 50-0. So it comes down to Tulane, and I don't think I covered there. So I had another bad week. Nope, Tulane didn't cover. So Mike was 3-2. I was 2-3. So
didn't our boy Jamie have like a 12-team parlay?
He played a 5-team parlay. He's played 2 5-team parlays back-to-back, and he's won 4 of the 5, and he's pissing him on. And I said, well, that's you play parlays. That's why do you think you don't win them? Because all you got to do is lose one game.
That's
it's not
painful,
that easy.
Though.
They're not money line parlays. You're playing point spreads.
I thought he also just swung for the fence and did like a 12-team one or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
he's got one of those. But that's just, you know.
That's for fun.
No, you might as well just go out your front door and just go in the gutter and just throw $5 in there and go back in your house.
Just set $5 on fire and leave.
Off you go.
But by the way, it wouldn't be. We need to have a segment called No One Cares.
Okay.
And it's literally just a rundown of our fantasy league because no one cares about anyone's fantasy league.
Actually, the guy texted and says, I do care.
So. That was me, actually.
You sent that? You sent a text to the
Coop
show?
Coop and I were trying to lure Locke into reading the score because Coop is currently kicking the ever-living spit out of. Out of lock, and Coop still has 2 players left to play. So
you guys set that in?
Yes. Yeah,
so, oh, that's quality. So I didn't know that.
Coop set it in just like, hey, heard you're getting that ass beat by Cooper in the fantasy league. And I was like, he's never going to read that. He skipped right over it. So I was trying to bait him into like, hey, I care about the ESPN fantasy league. Who's winning?
That's hilarious.
It didn't work.
I thought I might actually, the Electrons, not only, by the way, am I might possibly have the second highest total for the week. And if you do that, you get money. So I would like to, after being, you know, kind of the laughing stock of the league last year, we have a 49-point lead going into Pat playing his last player. So unless Michael Thomas goes absolutely out of his mind, he's projected to score, I think, I don't know, 12 points or something like that. He'd have to have 50. So we'll get a win. But how about this? If I had played Terry McLaurin from Washington, who is a very late round pick, I would have had the high total. Instead, I played that bum Odell Beckham. How about that? The Odell Beckham was one of the underperformers. That's another big long, storyline for the league, of course. Until you do it, you better keep your yaps shut a little bit. Cleveland ain't done it yet, and so there was a lot of talk about that team, and they got a good old fashioned. Butt kicking. So
did you hear Delanie Walker's comments?
No.
After the game, it was pretty. I thought it was pretty good. In 1 second, I'll pull it up here. This is good sound. It's a good reminder for everybody.
How about Serena not winning in the finals too?
Also that, yeah.
I thought
we circle this game. This is just another game. We ain't worried about it. I'm gonna tell you again, man. They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. Still gotta play football. We circle this.
That's the truth. You can crown them if you want to crown them, but you still got to play football. They forgot that part, no question. Very eventful sporting week, even though, as I said, the women's tennis. And the men's side, by the way. How dramatic was that? Rafa Nadal won the first 2 sets and then had to come back and win the 5th. He almost...
Didn't he get called out, too, for his slow play or something like that?
No, you think about golf.
No. Locke brought this up.
I didn't watch it. I mean, I was on my, well, we, I guess nowadays people have TVs everywhere, but I had a, unless I parked one in the John.
Sometimes you need to just concentrate at the task at hand.
Yeah. And it's not a lot of fun. Anyway, so that's the football recap. We'll talk with Tim Sullivan straight ahead. Well, I got a thought, by the way, on recruiting about something. I got clarity today about something, and I want to share it with you, which isn't meant to be popular or unpopular. It's just when you get clarity on something, I understand now more
the importance of fiber.
You're going the wrong way here. I don't need things to move the show along. I'm not just talking fiber.
You need some showstoppers. Nice, you need a show stopping team.
Yeah, I need a nice glass of Elmer's glue.
Nice quirk.
I know now why I'm so resentful of the hype about all the recruiting. I finally got it now. I thought because I was not a great player, do I resent that? No, of course not. I mean, these are elite athletes, and I love sports, and I admire them. Is that it? What is it about it? And I've come to terms with why, and I will share that with you in the next hour. But Tim Sullivan's next. Thanks for being with us. ESPN 680 1057.
With UPS, Future You graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.